Phil Marsh is the editor of Rail.co.uk, former Network Rail executive. Hello to you, Phil.
Hello there.
Good evening. And Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future. Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Has he done, that chief executive, Phil, as much as he could have done?
He probably has, but I suspect the advice he's been given is wrong, because 15 years ago I was involved in that Thameslink project at executive level on what was then the Railtrack London board, and that project is will have taken 25 years from conception to completion when it's finished in 2018. But what Robin Gisby did not say was that had he cancelled the work to make sure trains were running today, he would have lost a year on the project, because that work is programmed a year in advance, and that connection between the two tunnels outside King's Cross into St Pancras to join up the Thameslink route, that opportunity would have been lost, and then that could well delay the trains running from 2018 by 12 months. So it is cheaper to keep going until the bitter end than to say, I'm going to make the call, I'm going to stop the works and get the trains running again.
Yeah, thousands of people stranded, Bruce. It's front page of the Sunday Telegraph tomorrow. Fury, they say, over weekend rail chaos. And people just wondering how this can happen. Such a lack of information is the prevailing sentiment from people certainly contacting us. It's not that it went wrong, you understand that. It's a lack of information when it does go wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's timely, really, because it's one of the things we're campaigning on. We're doing some research into how disruption is handled when things go wrong, because, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men and all that. And there does seem to be this overriding theme of the lack of information. We heard in your report there that, you know, there was no information on the screens, the staff don't seem to know what's going on. And we have heard examples on other occasions as well where it seems that the passengers using Twitter and smartphones and social media are often better informed than the staff. So I think that, you know, that the Network Rail and the train operating companies do need to move into the 21st century and inform passengers better.
So we know the Transport Minister isn't happy, Phil. We know that the regulator is investigating, but will anybody in Network Rail be worried about that? Will they be worried about the future of their jobs because of what's happened here?
Well, there's a lot of points here. Let's just pick up on what Bruce said about communication. I've been looking at the websites since your colleague called me earlier on today. The East Coast Trains website is fabulous. Everything was up to date. The Network Rail website, information was non-existent on it. And it was blatantly incorrect on the Thameslink website. Now, it kept saying there's alternative arrangements, you can travel by different train companies. But, you know, your guy, Gary from Huntingdon, he possibly could have driven over to Bedford or Wellingborough to get a train into St Pancras. But Stagecoach East Midlands weren't accepting the tickets. And Stagecoach have just won the East Coast franchise, so how will they feel if that happens to them in the future? But you asked about the politicians. They will be playing the blame game now. When the project is opened, hopefully successfully in 2018, they will be taking all the credit. The Transport Secretary is a very, very good Transport Secretary. He has two government departments under him. One is Network Rail, the other is East Coast Trains. So East Coast Trains, I think, have done as well as they possibly can. Network Rail have failed abysmally on this thing.
Yeah,
if they
knew
they were going to not run trains from 5 o'clock yesterday evening, why do they not have the staff at Finsbury Park? Why do they not have staff with loud hailers or even handwritten posters, which I used to do when I ran stations?
Bruce Williamson, just briefly, I don't want to be alarmist here because it didn't happen, but I raised the point earlier. You start to think to yourself, if there was ever a terrorist incident in this country or a major incident which was threatening life, how the thousands and thousands of people that are on our transport system would be looked after. Would there be a system kicking into place as soon as possible, as efficiently as possible, to protect as many people as possible?
Well, I certainly hope
so. You start to wonder in an incident like this.
You'd hope that the emergency services have any number of contingency plans, at least in
the case... But surely it's all about getting information to people in those type of circumstances,
yeah,
which is why I come back to what we're looking at tonight.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we've covered information, and there does seem to be, you know, it's very lacking. And let's hope that, you know, people learn the lessons from this, and next time around it won't be so bad. I mean, the problem at Finsbury Park, of course, is that it's way too small, but we don't have a spare King's Cross. So it's the sort of least bad option. I think the terrorist idea, you know, at least it was last minute, so I don't think any terrorist organisation could have planned an incident there. But yeah, you know, it does give cause for concern.
Bruce, thank you. Thanks. Phil, thank you.